بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Omar died, and in order to save the community a lot of trouble, he named six people and ordered they are locked up in a room until they have elected one of them to be the caliph. The details are too long, and although the probability was that Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet and the husband of his daughter, would have been elected. But the surprise was that the six people chose Uthman ibn Affan. So the first caliph after the Prophet was Abu Bakr, the second was Umar ibn al-Khattab, and the third is Uthman ibn Affan. Who is Uthman? He is a member of the Quraysh tribe, the large umbrella tribe of the Prophet ﷺ. He meets with the Prophet at the fourth grandfather, and he was 6 years younger than the Prophet. He was a merchant, and he was very rich. Plus, he was very generous. And keep that in mind, because his upbringing in wealth and his generosity will have their influence on the psychology of the empire later on. He was very loved by his clan, the Quraysh, and it was known that mothers would lullaby their children by chanting to them, "I swear by the Rahman, I love you like Quraysh love Uthman." So he was quite loved. And he became a Muslim by the help of Abu Bakr, who approached him and said, "Uthman, a man of your intellect, how come you go and worship statues?" And he took him to the Prophet, and the Prophet said, "Uthman, Allah is calling you, answer the call." And he immediately said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Then he was married to the daughter of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, by name of Ruqayyah. And when the Prophet advised the early Muslims to seek refuge elsewhere from the persecution by the Kafirs, and a group of them went to Abyssinia, now called Ethiopia, Uthman and his wife Ruqayyah were amongst the immigrants to Abyssinia. Then they came back, and they continued the immigration to Medina until there was the day of the Battle of Badr, the first battle of Islam, and a very decisive one for that matter. But unfortunately, he did not attend that battle because Ruqayyah took ill. She was very sick, and she died on the day of the Battle of Badr. And the Prophet advised him to marry his second daughter. And he would be the first person ever to marry two daughters of a Prophet. And therefore, he was called Dhun-Nurayn, the man of the two lights, marrying the two girls of the Prophet. The second was called Umm Kulthum, but regrettably also Umm Kulthum died. So he married two daughters of the Prophet, and they both died. And the Prophet commented to him, I want to tell you, Uthman, if I had a third daughter, I would marry her to you. So obviously he was a man whom the Prophet loved too much. He was very generous, his generosity manifesting itself time and again. When the Prophet prepared the army to go to Tabuk, and it was a year of famine and very hot year and poor harvest, etc., Uthman underwrote the expense of the whole army. At the time of the Prophet also, in Medina, at times of famine and the drought, a Jew owned a well that he monopolized and sold water to the Muslims at a very high price. So the Prophet said, is there anybody who can buy that well? And Uthman tried to buy it, but the owner didn't agree to sell it to Uthman. And after much negotiation and a very lucrative price, Uthman could buy half the well. How come? How can the well be halved? Then the agreement was, we use the well on alternate days. One day for you, one day for me. Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, etc., etc., on alternate days. But Uthman then, on his days, granted the water free to the Muslims at any amount. So when it was the day of Uthman, the Muslims would go and fill for 2 days. And then next day, when it was the turn of the owner, the other owner, the Jew, nobody would go. And so the Jew was compelled to sell it at a very reasonable price to Uthman. Also during the time of Abu Bakr, there was a time of famine, and the people were hungry, and Uthman was to receive one of his caravans coming from Syria. And the people took note of that, so all the merchants in Medina went to Uthman in order to buy either the whole caravan or shares of it. And they would tell him, we'll give you a good profit margin, we'll give you 10% margin. And he would tell them, no, somebody else gave me more. They would go and raise it 15%, 20%, 25%, 30%, and he would say, somebody offered more. And they told him, we are the merchants of Medina, there are no other merchants. And you are all here and we know what we offered you. He said, someone offered me 1,000%. So they said, impossible, who would that be? And he said, Allah offered that. That if I give a charity, I'll be rewarded tenfold. And behold, I give it for charity to the Muslims. So that was the man. He was also cultured. He was one of the few in Arabia who could read and write, and the Prophet used to him to write down the revealed Quran. You know, when the Prophet received the Quran, he would convey it to the people, making the equivalent of the quote and unquote. He would say, God says, and the people would listen, and at the end he would say, God spoke the truth, and this would be the unquote. And immediately this would be committed to people's memory, and at the time they had a very good memory, and committed to writing. And Uthman was one of those scribes who used to write the Quran. He also was one of the scribes who would write the messages of the Prophet that the Prophet sent to other rulers and kings. And already I told you last time that when Abu Bakr was on his deathbed and wanted to delegate the caliphate to Umar after that, he brought Uthman to dictate him his will. And he started, and when he was about to say, "I named so and so," he lost consciousness. And so Uthman, knowing what Abu Bakr meant, wrote Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then Abu Bakr came around again and said, "What did you write?" And he said, I delegated to Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abu Bakr said, "You could have written itself. I thank you for your honesty, walhamdulillah." When the Muslims under the Prophet went to do their first intended Umrah, and the Quraysh stopped them, and there was bad negotiations, the Kuffar, the Quraysh, said, "You go away, we will not allow you." The Muslims were very enthusiastic and wanted to pitch battle there and then. And there were negotiations. And the Prophet said, "I am sending someone to negotiate with the Quraysh." The name of Umar was suggested, but Umar said, "Not me, Prophet of Allah. Send Uthman, because the Quraysh love him very much." And the Prophet sent Uthman to make the negotiations on the behalf of the Muslims. But Uthman was late. And a rumor came that Uthman had been killed in Mecca. And so there was no place but for battle. And the Prophet wanted to consolidate the determination of the Muslims and brought them to give their bay'ah, the pledge, putting their hands atop one another and giving the solemn oath to be steadfast and to make battle come what may. And as they were doing that, the news came that Uthman was not killed. And the Prophet was very happy, yet he went on with the bay'ah, and he put his other hand on top and said, "This is the hand of Uthman." So uniquely, his bay'ah was given by the hand of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Uthman was a very shy person. Whatever asked, he would give. Once the Prophet was in his rooms and he was sitting casually with a good bit of his leg showing, Abu Bakr was announced, came in and sat. After a while, Umar was announced, he came in and sat down. And after a while, Uthman was announced, and so the Prophet drew his clothing to cover all his leg. And they asked him, "Abu Bakr and Umar, and why especially you cover your leg?" Because Uthman came, and he said, "Should I not be shy of a person of whom the angels are shy?" So this is a glimpse of the personality of Uthman. And he became caliph, and he made the speech, and he made sure that he was acceptable to everyone. He went and made the speech at the mosque, reminding people that this world is just a transit. So don't bury yourself in the transit you should make for the coming world, which is the durable one, etc., etc. And yet, he immediately faced a crisis in his administration. The first thing he met and had to handle was a court case, a murder. Because the son of Umar, one of the sons of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Omar, who was killed by Lu'lu'a, a man called Lu'lu'a. And one of the sons of Omar knew that the plot to kill Omar was not perpetrated by Lu'lu'a only, but there was another man also coming from Persia, not quite a mu'min deep in his heart, and it was him who plotted with Lu'lu'a and gave him the dagger by which he killed Omar. And it was the same dagger, and so that son of Omar went, took sword, and killed the man by the name of Harmuzan. Well, he was arrested, and there he was. Omar killed days ago, and now his son is a murderer, and what shall he do? He consulted people. He consulted Ali ibn Abi Talib in particular, and Ali said he's a murderer, he should be killed. But then people went to Osman and said, have some mercy on the household of Al-Khattab. Omar dying a few days ago, and then his son to die now. And so Osman solved the problem by verdicting a ransom and paid their ransom out of his own money. Then in the very earliest days of Uthman, he had to face two kinds of problems, one and then the other. The first kind of problems came from without the border, not in the state. Because many people, when they heard that the strong man, Omar, had died, they took heart and started battling the Muslims again. The remnants of the Persian army on the east and the Roman Empire on the west tried again to push back, because they thought that the awe of Omar has gone. But then Osman proved himself to be a very capable leader and a very competent one, and immediately he formed the armies to go and meet the enemy and sent the munitions, and the state had to go through a series of battles. No more maps, but I'll try to give you a summary of them. In the year 24 of Hijra, Armenia was conquered, and Kabul, which is the capital of Afghanistan now, was opened. In the year 25, the Romans sent an army by ship that landed in Alexandria, Egypt, trying to take Egypt again. But again, the Muslims sent armies and expelled them. More of the Roman Empire was taken. The Muslim armies reached Turkey and surrounded Constantinople, which is now called Istanbul. But they didn't conquer it. It will be hundreds of years later until they conquered it, because Istanbul was sitting on a sea and had its half in Asia, the other half in Europe, and was not amenable to be completely circled. So always its European side could bring rescue and people and munitions. Then a man from the Roman Empire called Gerges announced himself king on North Africa and tried to harass Egypt from the western side. But then again an army was sent and defeated him. The year 27, Muawiyah, remember the name Muawiyah, he will come later, conquered Caesarea. Caesarea is now where Mr. Wiseman, the president of Israel, has his home. Year 27 Hijri, this was opened. Year 28, Cyprus was taken, and then next to the Islamic Empire. And Muawiyah, by the way, was the first person ever to think that the Muslims should embolden themselves and take out to sea. The Arabs were not seafaring people. They never ventured into the sea, and to his credit, Muawiyah was the first person to suggest building castles and fortifications on the ports and the seashore, and of building a Muslim navy. Then the conquest of Khorasan, Farjana, Azerbaijan, Tabaristan, Labab, the final battle against Yazdegerd, who was the last of the Persian kings, defeating the Turks, conquering the Isle of Rhodes in the Mediterranean, and there was a Muslim navy comprising 500 ships. And the Roman navy was completely destroyed. And the year 35, which was the last of the years of Othman, Constantine II, who was the king of the Roman Empire, prepared a large armada to recapture Egypt, but it was God's will that a storm came and destroyed all his navy. So these were the problems from outside the borders, and very efficiently Othman could deal with them. But then the second and the serious kind of problems erupted within the state, because sociologically the state was undergoing an inevitable metamorphosis. Instead of being the Arab Peninsula or the Hejaz, it grew to be an empire, and it annexed very rich countries, and so the Muslim state became a very rich state, and this reflected on the lives of people. Just compare the lives of the Arabs of the Persia, of the Arab Peninsula, before oil and after oil. A complete dramatic change. Maybe you are too young to compare, but I can compare. I saw the people before oil, and I saw them after oil. After oil, they became richer, but much poorer spiritually. And this really started at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab before Uthman, but somehow Umar could clench his fist on both the affluent and the non-affluent elements of the society. And the breakage at the seams did not occur at the time of Umar, according to his personality and his tight fist. But now Osman was always a rich man and was always a generous man. It was not his nature to uphold a policy of austerity and pull the belts on your stomachs. And no, his key word was give and give and give. And so he gave. And whereas Umar locked up the companions in Medina and did not allow them to go abroad. And he told them, I need you for my own consultation. And when the one of them would tell him, I want to go for the jihad, I want to join the army. And he would tell him, no, your jihad with the Prophet is enough. You stay here. Uthman, of course, had a very different nature. He allowed the companions of the Prophet to go out of Medina to wherever they liked. And they went out. One positive was that people crystallized around them, so they were sources of light and teaching and education in their places. But on the other hand, there were people who tended to adore them. Sometimes you hear that a people have a chief or a boss or a sheikh, like Sufis, they adore him. And when the friends of the Prophet went all over the empire, they created that nucleus for people to rally around and perhaps to be fascinated with. Those, of course, who went out and being very rich people knew the road to magnificent palaces and possessions and wealth and riches, no bank account because there were no banks, but they were really extremely rich and led a very affluent life. And affluence is a test. Affluence is a severe test. When Allah tests you by poverty or by illness, automatically you say, Ya Allah. But when Allah tests you with affluence and riches and wealth and health, then the temptations of the world can well overwhelm you unless you are a very solid person. And so, the nation became a wealthy nation, just like the oil countries now. The enemies were defeated, so the external threat ceased to stimulate people and keep them on alert and stimulate them to go to fight, etc., etc. Many, many, many of the new additions to Islam did not have the real, solid, deep Islam in their heart. They just became Muslims. They didn't really think deep about it, or they took it as Islam but without Iman. Remember, there is a verse in the Quran that says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. That was the time of the Prophet, when Islam spread in the Arab Peninsula, and everybody came and hurried and took up Islam. And the Quran says, the Bedouins have said, we have attained to faith. Say, no, you have not attained to faith. Say, we have surrendered. We have accepted Islam. Islam means surrender to the will of God. But faith is yet to enter into your hearts. And if this was in the Arabia of the Prophet, how do you think of an empire that extends from Afghanistan to North Africa with everybody hurrying into Islam? And therefore there was so much dilution. Sometimes I ponder, in reaction to the news, etc., etc., is this really the shape of a world containing 1 billion Muslims? It can't be. It cannot be. Because 1 billion flies could have hummed, keeping the world awake. Because 1 billion mosquitoes could have gone and bit everybody in the West. But we don't. It is just 1 billion people. And the similar situation started to appear at the time of Osman. Sometimes I pray if the 1 billion Muslims were just maybe 20, 30, 50, 100 millions, but real Muslims. The gold-plated are many, the solid gold are few. And it seems that since that time, so many acquired Islam in the way of being Islam-plated and not really Islam-solid. And yet there were some people, real good people, who were appalled by this diversion of the Islamic Ummah to affluence and to wealth and enjoying life and having a good time. And so they started screaming, whistle-blowing, and they whistled so much that people were dismayed with them. And Uthman, being the rich and generous, could not identify with those whistleblowers who protested the affluent life, the new life of the Muslim state. And so he punished some of them, particularly one who was very close to the Prophet, called Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Some of you certainly heard the name before that. In modern jargon, people used to write until a few years ago that Abu Dharr was really the first caller for socialism, because he didn't agree that the rich become so rich and the poor so poor, etc., etc. And one of the things Uthman did was to banish Abu Dharr to a town where he cannot go and preach, in a way, like John the Baptist. Again, with voices of protest on part of some people, Osman felt he could rely only on people whom he trusted. And naturally, at the top of the list of those whom he trusted was his own clan, his own family of the Umayyads, Banu Umayyah. And this led to an era of nepotism and favoritism, giving high office to the Umayyads, his relatives, giving them money out of pace with what he gave the rest of the people, sending them as rulers in various regions of the empire. And this, no doubt, was not accepted by the people, and the people began to criticize Osman. As a matter of fact, people time and again would go and complain, file a complaint against the ruler. And sometimes Osman would remove the ruler, sometimes not. Sometimes the people would send back a ruler that Osman sent to rule them, and Osman wouldn't do anything about it. So there was a gradual erosion on the credibility and the power of the state. And this, of course, had its complications. And it was obvious that the Muslim state has literally been divided into two states. One society that was vanishing, but not completely vanished, that was the spirit of the life of the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Omar. And one society that was coming, but not completely come, and that is the affluence and the wealth and the good time, etc., etc. And it seems Uthman, and perhaps it was impossible for anyone to keep binding these two kinds of society with the iron fist that Umar ibn al-Khattab had. There were some hypocrites. Always amongst the ranks of the Muslims there were some hypocrites who were so keen at undermining the state and hurting it from within. And we might mention a couple of names later on. I would like to mention one of the marked positives of Uthman, and that is collating the Mus'haf, the Quran, to be written according to the language of Quraysh. Remember, the Prophet said the Quran has been revealed upon seven letters. Seven letters, that is seven dialects. And when the Sahaba of the Prophet went elsewhere and the people outside Arabia started to listen to the Quran and memorize it and read it, etc., they started reading it differently from one another. And somebody went to Uthman and said, "Rescue, help, hurry, save the nation before they differ as the Christians differed on the Gospels." And he told them that things were happening in the outskirts. And so Uthman collated the Mus'haf. I would like to give you a briefing. What do we mean by the Prophet saying the Quran was revealed upon seven letters? Let me give you a few examples. We all say Al-Quran, Al-Quran. In the Sudan, they do not pronounce the Qa. And to them, they say Al-Qur'an. The Ra is a different letter altogether from the Qa. And so if it would be time to write it down, we ran the risk that in Arabia they say Qur'an and in the Sudan they say Qur'an, and it would be a different thing altogether. Certain tribes in Yemen at the time did not pronounce the L, La. They pronounced it M. And we know the hadith of the Prophet, when somebody went to the Prophet and asked him, "Aminan birrim siyamu fim safar?" He meant, "Amin al birri al siyam fi al safar." But he used the M for the L. And so the Prophet answered him, "Laysa min birrim siyamu fim safar." It is using the man's dialect. And that is why people who go to the Prophet,
eller jag var med tjejen då, så jag var med ord och var fri i vårt namn, så jag var fri om och inte med andra grann, så kom. Nej, jag var inte riktigt. Ja, nej. Han sa till dig, ja, nej. Så ville du ha kom. Men jo, nu jag vill inte med sina. Nej, han har samma hon. Storm, ja, och abu babona sama hum ya abdina makarawina ni kuti kutun ni kabun no da da sinya am so lek no ra sa na hot no wina ni kik lo ni mo lo ni ngai lo ni no ra jira mi hali an idil amma ni am so lek no ra sa na na san ni am so ya wo de kutun ni Hade vi sett att jag inte gillar att ni vill ha bara haft det där och vi får inte röda mot havet då som gillar oss att han drog in i gudet med få mat du vill ha han drog med vad mat nej nej så får vi in i om det här då vi nej till vettig rart mer för att man är just att det låter sig fädd och matting Men han är den folk i den römmen där jag i det här är den och mitt i något hej för att man är ut i rann jag mån så det är det då han är den folk i den römmen han är den römmen och det är det som är i ondet och han har för oss i nöda och det är inte så men det är ju knivt och det är det här när knivt i nöda har det då Am so von ihr die drauf, ich mehr da auch noch wie so ein paar ihr nicht. Das ist wie wenn man es nicht. Am so, aber mehr als für den Ila, aber die ist nicht, die Ruhe ist, die Ruhe ist. Ja, das ist alles nicht. Vielleicht nicht, wie die Hüte in ihm mit. Ne. Vielleicht nicht, aber Ila, oh, ich meine, Ich bin nicht mehr so. Jag har mig bara den åker du ingen riktig namn på vad du ingen fick illa då ser du oss när så helt matlig allt var till alla med när det finns det finns det jag har till en glas nu gillar jag om din jag säger nu särskilt jag har till en glas eller till när det är helt lätt och vad han har varit och det är trevligt illa oss nu gillar det vi får det när Nou, meneer, neem, je zou vrijboos in mijn aardelijk. Nee, of niet, is je wat er minder. Je beslist wat naar. Nou, je wilt naar. Ook in het afgelijk, je moet niet nou, niet veilig, voor mij. Nu wil je het. Zal je hoe je in de stelle toest, met de vrijlaat, met die je maar. Hier is het, je met een heel diep lichaam. Trouwt hier. Det var det här med att få hårt i sitt egna ögon. Men så det var till det som slås med händerna. Och vi måste det kalla på någon med vårt. Innan oss. Det fanns en namn på det här hos. Det var i det med. Det var först med älskling. Och han den här halva. Det finns det ju skit vårt. Men det kom så här. Nej, vad ska vi säga nu? Alla grejer är när jag har varit med och fan, men han har bara med. När jag lär dig med antalet fälligt god skriven. Nej, det var för det är fälligt och beskriven. Min skriven, min framåt. I grunden, har du sig hållit skriven. Fälligt och när jag går dig. السفينه خديجه بن مخلد نشيط وقوم نروي وين ذاتي حطنا عدوازي بيروه ذوتنا عدنا خليجي روي قوشي ويناجي نمطا خليجي مخلد يوان نهوخنا نلعصي بنجا عدنا وروتنا يمسي عفو يديك نوي سي عفو من اللي عدنا شين عفو من اللي عرفات ذوي نيت نموثوز شين عفو من الستاز يريد بعض ذوي نيت نموثوز في عمزي نانسي قولا مني فوق نيس كذوب فات مهدين وصولنا بعض مهدين وصول رورن ويت ذوي نعود وانا يزعنا نشفجي يين غو ديا ان ابن العصي بان بلا ديا لو ديا ويسمي عرف لو تشمت يهو تو سميس البنو أفتت سمعت مزور نماح ومخاب زماق رفيع رفيع جماق واحي سوالة تنغال لما السب يين اسماقنا يا عدوي حد اسمين الله ايه البنو يحسر نيوبا نسرتنا نعرف يرسو ينو يخفض ذه وينو قنار قدمي عجمي ووخي سيات تنار قدمي فرده يسير لي سنم لو ده سحب مقلو ده ما حم تفصل بس ناقد ده سي يخفض لي سهين لا غابا دي روح تروح هنا نيدو مصمات ابني أفصل نا سناب روح يخفضيه البنو أبت نظهر لبعضو ماشي فراو فجيني سيني لي شفت لا يضحي اني سيخ نبي روحي ما تخاف وخارج انا بس بحصي لو بيضا وصنا عم توصي وصي رسمي رزع ميه الناس تسويز وغرم ونردو يرسمي زيزا ميه الناس وست زي نعم فو عم مريزا يا بطيق اليرو حاش شوف نوفا نعم زوي لا نا لا عطب نوفي كمورد فهو منزي نامسو فالميه سوي يدنا ابوش سو نامسو نوفي واخد فليه سوي يسنسي ناما سنو بسار سوالو يو روشي طاقينا بسو نكالي روح نكالي زوي لا عيوان ميه بوشي نامسو نو نطلع سرابين للنفسي ادرسنا نطلع البقادة بس سو وفي خلصناها يلو زوتي اوتنا هم نجا نو رمضا خوشو وضررن رشكت بغاو يلني دو زوو زوكي احيان بغوم سميت مات زوار قدال انا ايرونا ايرو بردنا انا ايرو بردنا زوو اونا وفي خلصناها يا دبو او نامسو يكي بغوت نامسو روصو لسنو ويبو ايرو بردنا ورد وفي رجلب Вот он за нам, что снял плащнется и разбит, чтобы он не осознал на или бескосный на фиду смезу вала на дым или его или вот на фиде он не дачи бы сказал в вопрос бы он на шахтами и сказали и вот здесь не рехал бы описан лапиру смезу نشين بس نيجي نشور خذوا نام صون نام 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 صوت بعض لشت الرو ما حد بس ذا أبو الناس ما يلا أبو الناس ميسو حنا نتحلى نيجي نحنا في دي صدرو نام صوت هي جد الناس نرجو اشترى بس ناس إلى وش ها ما حد نحنا صدرو نام مجوي شفاق وحا وما أعتقد أنه فاتر فرحان ذا وكي بسمي والا إيه اللي جاوه ميه نافي دين اللي جاوه سفاتر مزنينات مقر روغوها ما حتر روغونا وكي يبدو نامسو ماقواه إيه اللي فاتر من يشتر دور دلغمات اشتر حال دفاع وكي نتسر لو نامسو رفاع فليك لتالي إيه لا غلاه يلو بشت راويك هدا نصرف ايه اخ براويك ما في الله سيطوح ما ارنس ايه بقبلت ايه خياط ما ادوق فوق في ليه ميك بدينه نارة يلهم نبي ايه في رسطوح ضمامة راويك ايه في نب maybe Miao was not. We first, maybe first, because the Nami won out his ears to three. No, he didn't what no was to you in that Ramo, not Kabuba, lay on the name of each man. About not Kabuba, the week. Hamahatin eats, Nama, Sherlock, Yelanka, eats, so we laugh. Or the wolf would be loud, see if the home boy is to Kabuba. If he lives up, he has that he knows in the Kabuba, but nothing is not. She's the woman.
Yeah, the nurse, but we have a sneeze, but I want.
يعني إيه أزمين إيزو دون برمعضو شيرو إيزو يعني فيش ما إيزو ناو إياد لفات تشوف شيد الغلطة بنا لو سيد طريق إيزو ناو سن سنس نو زيني سندس مقو سنعنم أمس ده سندس مقو وصيح علينا المصور الوصف يا بضل الله يا بضل ايه بستدرو نمي اني عيب يا سبلا في بان بلا اتفالي هنا لي زمنا وقران ربان يا بإثني أفضل سهينا سيخاص جبل كو بطفان إثنى ايه بصدرو سن عوض فتك ايه بمكنا وثم ايه هو إذا كتاب ما سيخاص جبلو سوي لكي في نفس الزوغة ضعيف ما مين يفرغو يفرغ وخدنا إيضاب إينا زيجنا ربان دي فرط الناس تيلة كذيف إيربنا نعم تجيرو في نبي نعم تجيرو قيم تيرو خم أصدونا على التوضى وصيل عدم معهم لفقر قدم حمقف برمي علي دم لأن روي نو علي دم فوش يا ونو ديشنا وأن ابنا حاصل دوسر وبيسل حاصل ناصر ما إلا حاصل ما جهد وحا بالعصي بأن إلا أرسو مسافرنا هابوش وصفات دوسر بيض نيتيش ينو نيكل ينو سروس بابزي يعوص مسافر تالي زالفو ماكو فصاد نيس نزيد نزاش قضائنا شيرو يبدنا سواعدنا وخابو بعدنا تخاف بجيه زادنونا بيعصبو يفتد بسيط بسيط يدو جنابي رد سابس كعصنا وميغوين ويستدرو نزي عصبو مفروفيتو مهيرنا مشكين استثارت بسنو شيرو قيدو بيعمل دي ميلياتني وقا حنيده متكمر يا الخارجين نوغو سنيزو خصو استخاصة دو فيان دنا ساب دو فيان زيني نيس ويشت ابنا استخاصة دو خصو ايه بطبع زيري سيرا دو ايه لعشت دو ايه لو امي عصب سنسي ايهنا مال سيقا اخ كوتينو سعين اخوة بزو جيه دي سبتني مستدي مرشد ما 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 في قاعدة توش تخرب فيه ما وقاعد تشو هذا نشرب خيال عم يدنو أبعك بسني إيزا أقوان إيزا أقوان إيزا أبعك أبعك بياس نينو زو إيلا نياس بيسترسني هو خيرتي إذا مثل سفرت بياب سفرت الأمور إبني قاعد يرس او خزاو مترس بجسدس عامل يرس روني فوق سواح ليهوس إلا ناسي هنا وخص خاصة ناب هو في الرف ميسي بلاسو بانو يترس يرس ناصر ورس ادنا عامل يرس ورس بلاسو بانو اخنا زيها بنكيس زو لما هم تخص من البيت هذا الصوت بس إلى لما هم بخطوة عن ذاك تسوي إلى ونزاء إلى نفرات إلى نفرات الصعبة ويشير بسير السهر لن يبرو في الشكال ويا ما رسنا ما لك إلى إلى طيب عند إلى زو في الاختباء نحروف في الوقت نوكيت الوقتنا نعم في الغاني لك الصوتنا أشتلت الحرب دون بس غرنا وصفت فيه في حرنا حرنا